بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد. Most respected brothers and elders, now mothers and sisters listening over the receiver. Alhamdulillah, ثم Alhamdulillah. We are blessed tonight, extremely honored. We have with us Hazrat Mullah Suleiman Mullah Sahib Damat Barakatuhu. And of course, I think most of you know him personally very well. You have heard his talks many times. He needs no introduction whatsoever. He has asked me not to give any introduction also. But we welcome him to our masjid. He has been here previously. We deeply appreciate his coming here tonight and accepting our invitation to inspire us. He has touched the hearts of thousands over the world, locally and abroad. He is a young, dynamic alim, absolutely eloquent in his talks, humble in his character. He is an ustad of Darul Zakaria. And he always humbles himself. He wants to seek knowledge. He still sits at the feet of his asatiza. We can go on mentioning so many praises of Mullah Suleiman Mullah, and that's not the object tonight. Our purpose of coming here tonight, not just to entertain. In fact, there's no entertainment. We make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has saved us tonight. So many of us could have been just whiling ourselves in frivolous pursuits, and we know our youngsters today. But Allah has given us a tawfiq and opportunity to sit in His house tonight and to be inspired by the different gems that Hazrat Maulana has. He has profound knowledge of Quran and Hadith. When a person listens to him, he wishes that he could just go on and on and on. Now of course we are not going to be kept back here tonight till midnight. However, a humble appeal is made. Maulana has made a great sacrifice. His schedule is, he is very busy. He's invited all the time abroad. He has got a family also to see to. 2 weeks ago he was in Port Elizabeth. So every weekend he's got some program. He managed to slot and just managed to give us an opportunity. Now he has come, made such a sacrifice. He's here with us. And of course we can't just give him just a few minutes to just enlighten us. So although it won't be till midnight, but let us be patient. If somebody needs to go urgently, then I would make a humble appeal now before the talk starts. That if you feel you are not parked correctly, please go now and make sure that you park correctly, and no person should be parking in any person's driveway without that person's permission. We do not want to interrupt the bayan. And as Hazrat Maulana will commence his bayan, and as he flows, it will be rude to him, we will be disturbing him. Therefore, make a humble appeal. If you feel your car is not parked correctly, then let us go now and park our cars correctly and come back. And if you feel that you have to leave earlier, then kindly do not park yourself in such a way that you are jammed and then you have to please keep on interrupting the audience. We make dua for Hazrat Maulana. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen him. May Allah increase his knowledge. May Allah ta'ala increase his amal. May Allah protect him from the evil glance. May Allah protect him from the jealous ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept him. He is young. Allah has already shown signs of acceptance that people throughout the world, so many have changed their lives just by listening to his discourses. So many have not even seen him, but they listen to him all the time. We met a brother this evening who's visually impaired, very humble person, and I think he is present here in this gathering. And this is the first time he met Hazrat Mullah Suleiman Mullah. This person became emotional. He began to cry. And he says, Maulana, I make dua for you every single day of my life. So we should do the same. These are our ulama, our scholars. We learn Quran and Hadith from them. And we should make dua for them. And dua for all the ulama-i-kiram. May Allah ta'ala protect us. May Allah ta'ala Give us Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah Ta'ala make us true leaders. And may Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala inspire us tonight, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala make the words flow from Hazrat Maulana's heart. May Allah protect him and bless all of us. I will not prolong, inshallah. We call upon Hazrat Maulana Sulaiman Mulla Sahib to inspire us, inshallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَقُّ وَمَوْعِظَةٌ وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين عضوا عليها بالنواجذ وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالًا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, it is a natural phenomena and a human instinct to sympathize and empathize with the victim of any tragedy, be he friend or foe, whether he belongs to a common religion or any other denomination. It is intrinsic to the human nature and it's inherent to his temperament to support, to mutually assist and aid the victims of any tragedy. And from time to time we see there is an awareness campaign, there is a collection drive, there is an awakening to assist and support the victims of a tragedy. And this is awesome, this is brilliant, this is meritorious. And honestly speaking, it is by virtue of such qualities that it elevates the human race over all other kinds. However, as sympathetic as the human is, and as caring as he is, his approach and response is very, very different when the nature of the tragedy is self-inflicted. The very caring human becomes apprehensive, he becomes two-minded, and he becomes skeptical. No, I don't help him, leave him, he needs to learn a lesson. Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah Ali used to say, I sympathize with the victim of every tragedy, but a jealous man is decided to inflict himself, he must live with it. If you harbor agony, you must live with jealousy. Shuaib alayhi salatu wassalam, after the destruction of his nation, addressing the dead corpse, he said, Ya qawmi laqad ablaghtukum risalati rabbi wa nasahtu lakum fakayfa asa ala qawmin kafirin. Listen, you lie as dead corpse. I warned you, I cautioned you. How can I lament the bitter end of a nation that chooses to deny? How can I cry and lament when this is what you wanted? Sima'ul Mawta is an academic debate. It's a scholastic debate that the deceased can also listen. Someone came to Shataullah Bukhari Rahmatullah Alayhi and asked him, is it true that the dead can listen? He said, we live in a time even the living are not listening. We live in a time even the living are not listening. If we look around us, by and large, the problems that have gripped and plagued the world are self-inflicted. So, somebody tells you, did you hear Brother Ibrahim was admitted into the clinic? No, inna lillah, what happened? He's got lung cancer. What are you telling me? Yeah, but then again, you know, he's got a bad smoking habit. I guess what can we do? He'll have to live with it. If that's what he wants in life, there's very little we can do. And then you get home and the phone rings. Kam min abdin yarjul bashara fatabdu lahul khasara. Wa kam min abdin yarjul ata fayabdu lahul bala. You anticipate good, and there you know something unpleasant. You pick up the phone. No! Are you serious? Now the people around you are in panic mode. What happened? Wait. The marriage broke. But I thought they were so happy and everything was fine. Yeah, apparently one partner was cheating over the other. Oh, well then maybe it's better it broke. And then you walk out of the masjid, hey, you heard this guy's liquidated. Everything insolvent. Why? Compulsive gambler. He's got a bad habit. In essence, we've become a self-destructive nation because of which the element of sympathy for our problems are also gradually dwindling away. We're becoming loners in our problem. Hey, I believe your brother's got a bad habit, man. You know what? Our family's washed their hands off. We've done so much, but now we can't do anything. You want to help him? It's your choice. You know, we've learned to move on with life. We've learned to move on with life. We've become a self-destructive nation, and there is no longer a sympathetic eye for us. فَمَا بَكَتَ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْضَرِينَ. When the tyrant Pharaoh died, Allah said, neither the skies, nor the earth, nor the humans, nobody wanted to cheer, everyone was only rejoicing. Good riddance to such an evil man. The only way we can free ourselves from these trials and attract not human sympathy but divine sympathy is we align ourselves to the lives of Sahaba and synchronize our thinking to the thinking of Sahaba. Then only will we see a shift and a change in the happenings of the world. And while every Sahabi's life is symbolic and exemplary, and in particular the Khulafa, because it has a political dimension and a rich contribution in the political sphere and arena as well. But I thought briefly today I share with you anecdotes from the life of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. At the onset I must say, and I will tie it up with the couplets of Ali radiallahu anhu, the nature of human existence on earth is riddled with challenges. What I want to speak about today is life by its nature is challenging. Unfortunately, we compounding the problem by inflicting new problems upon ourselves. So I don't have a recipe to give you a hiccup-free life. Nay, the Quran says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We created man in labor and pain and agony. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has written under this ayah, it's a futile exercise to expect a hiccup-free life. If you're planning and hoping, in English they say there's two words, expecting and accepting. Expecting will end up in tears, accepting will end up in cheers. There are two words, expecting and accepting. I expect this from you. The levels of expectation when entering into a relation are too high. Expectation levels are too high. So expecting will end up in tears, while accepting will end up in tears. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We've created man in challenges. When Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had to contend with the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then 6 months thereafter he lost his spouse and his partner Fatima radiallahu anha, then he sang the amazing couplets, أَرَى عِلَلَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَيَّ كَثِيرًا وَصَاحِبُهَا حَتَّى الْمَمَاتِ عَلِيلُ. I see the oceans are becoming rough upon me. The waters are becoming stormy. The tides are mounting upon me. The view has become blurred and obscured. أَرَى عِلَلَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَيَّ كَثِيرًا وَصَاحِبُهَا حَتَّى الْمَمَاتِ عَلِيلُ. And that after all is the nature of life on earth. A person is gripped and plagued by challenges and adversities till he meets his Allah. لِكُلِّ جِتِمَاعٍ مِّنْ خَلِيلَيْنِ فُرْقًا. What less a challenge is this that the union of every two ends in separation. What less a challenge is this that the union of every two ends in separation. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi's words when consoling someone is so amazing. He used to say, إِنِّي مُعَزِّيكَ لَا أَنِّي عَلَى ثِقَةٍ مِّنَ الْخُلُودِ وَلَكِنْ سُنَّةَ الدِّينِ. فَمَا الْمُعَزَّى بِبَاقٍ بَعْدَ مَيِّتِهِ وَلَا الْمُعَزِّي وَلَوْ عَاشَى إِلَى حِينِ وَمَا الدَّهْرُ إِلَّا هَكَذَا رَزِيَّةُ مَالٍ أَوْ فِرَاقُ حَبِيبِ. My brother, I have come to pay my respect and console you, not because I have the assurance of eternity. Neither me nor you will see eternity. I'm only consoling you, not because I have guarantee on life, but because it's one of the practices and the rituals of Islam. وَمَا الدَّهْرُ إِلَّا هَكَذَا. This is the temperament, the nature of life. رَزِيَّةُ مَالٍ أَوْ فِرَاقُ حَبِيبِ. Sometimes you bid farewell to a close one, sometimes you separate with your belongings and your possession. When Aisha radiallahu anha was in Medina and her brother Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr passed away, and he passed away in a place called Hubsha, which was one manzil from Makkah. In Tirmidhi this narration comes, and in Mishkat under Babu Dafni al-Mayyit it has been mentioned, and I read the commentary in Madahir al-Haq Jadid about it. Ibn Abi Mulayka makes mention of the narration. So Aisha radiallahu anha was in Medina Munawwara. Abdul Rahman, her brother, passed away in Hubsha. His body was then brought to Makkah and he was buried there. When she came for Hajj, she passed by the grave there, and she obviously was reflecting over the life of her brother. And then she sang two couplets. وَكُنَّا كَنَدْمَا نَيْ جَذِيمَةَ حِقْبَةً مِنَ الدَّهْرِ حَتَّى قِيلَ لَنْ يَتَصَدَّعَ فَلَمَّا تَفَرَّقْنَا كَأَنِّي وَمَالِكَ لِتُولِجْتِمَاعٍ لَمْ نَبِتْ لَيْلَةً مَعَا. Myself and my brother Abdul Rahman were like the two ministers of the king Jadhima. They ruled for 40 years. People said they inseparable. They live together. They will die together. Malik and Uqayl. But when Malik passed on and Uqayl had to live, he said, now that time has moved on and things have matured and I have continued with my life, sometimes I think, I don't know if we ever met in life. Yet 40 years they were inseparable. So that's the nature of life. This is what Aisha radiallahu anha said. وَإِنَّ افْتِقَادِي فَاتِمًا بَعْدَ أَحْمَدٍ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا يَدُومَ خَلِيلُ. وَإِنَّ افْتِقَادِي فَاتِمًا بَعْدَ أَحْمَدٍ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا يَدُومَ خَلِيلُ. And the fact that I've lost Fatima radiallahu anha after losing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a loud indication that nobody is here to stay. Nobody is here to stay. Brothers, again we interrupted, there are few cars. For Allah's sake, would you be kind enough to move? There's a Toyota, there's some ND180 and some Nissan Almera 633378. Please be kind enough to excuse your car. وَإِنَّ افْتِقَادِي فَاطِمًا بَعْدَ أَحْمَدْ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا يَدُومَ خَلِيلُ. The fact that I lost Fatima radiallahu anha after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a proof that no human on this earth is here to remain. So, what I want to focus my talking, the nature that Allah has designed for us on earth is challenging. Unfortunately, we have brought misery upon ourselves. We have inflicted ourselves. We hit in our own self. And we're having to contend with this self-inflicted crisis for which there's nobody to listen to our problem. One of the greatest causes of human misery today on the earth stems from greed and jealousy. One of the greatest causes of self-infliction on this earth today is, we've made our life narrow and miserable, and we have complicated matters upon ourselves. We're having to deal with what Mother Nature has put on our lap, and we have to navigate, and we have to hang on firm on this, and not entertain negativity against our Allah. وَلَا تَظْنُمْ بِرَبِّكَ ظَنَّ سُوءٍ فَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْلَى بِالْجَمِيلِ. Because people are going through crises in their life. I am going through in my life, you going through in your life. There is no person that has a hiccup-free life. So let me share with you a few incidents to illustrate and explain to you how greed has caused misery in our life, and what was the thinking of Sahaba, and how did they conduct themselves. So here comes a person frail, jismin nahifin, in a frail body, thawbin mumazzaqin, in torn and tattered clothes, miskinun, a beggar, يَطْلُبُ الطَّعَامَ مِنْ عَلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He comes to ask some food from Ali رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Sayyidina Ali is sitting outside with his son Hassan. So here we're talking of the world harps on the aspect of quality time. Let's see how the quality time happens. This one, and as I will explain, there's so many factors that have been packaged together in the lives of Sahaba. So Sayyidina Ali رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ is having a light moment, sitting with his son Hassan رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. They're talking, they're chatting, father and son are having a discussion. Here this beggar comes, the son is observing, and he says, oh Ali, would you kindly spare me a dirham? So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu tells his son Hassan, اذهب إلى أمك وقل لها إن أبي ترك عندك ستة دراهم فهات منها درهما. Oh my respected mother, my father said that he's left with you 6 dirhams, there's a beggar there. Please could you provide 1 dirham so my father can pass it on. So quality time, he's observing the element of generosity, responding, assisting. Fatima radiallahu anha, in her human, common woman reaction, she said, that's about all what is in the house. You know, one is you say, go in the house and tell your mother, I want 1,000 rand, not from my wallet, not in the closet, not in the cupboard, the one on the microwave. And there's dollars, they leave that, not the pounds, the euros, leave that, will you, the 1,000 rand, yeah, 200 notes, leave the 100 rand notes, just bring that. No, no, 6 dirhams was about all in the house of Fatima radiallahu anha. 6 dirhams was about all in the house of Fatima radiallahu anha. In her human reaction, taraktu sittata darahim lid-daqiq. I thought we'll make, buy some flour, prepare some food. So I'm not objecting, I'm not opposing, I'm not declining, but ask your dad and ask my partner if he's fine with this here. So Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu comes back. Now the child is learning. Here the child is getting exposure to vulgarity, to obscene language, to vituperative comments, to condescending attitudes, to negative words. This is the exposure the child is getting. Here the child is learning, observing, reflecting, introspecting. Sayyidina Ali said, no, no, لا يصدق إيمان عبد حتى يكون ما في يد الله أوثق مما في يده. No, 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 now we have to learn something important and we need to set the principle correctly. Iman demands that your reliance is greater in the treasures of Allah than what's in your hand and in your possession. So now ask your mom, I need all the 6 dirhams. Now, let's just reflect and walk along. At this point, if this comes, it will be elevated to a point of no return. It gets ugly, it gets bitter, it gets vulgar. It's my brother, his sister, his uncle, my aunt, and it's really blown out. Fatima radiallahu anha realized, she respected the sensitivity of the moment, she gave the 6 dirhams, it was nipped into the bud, the atmosphere restored, returned to normality, took the 6 dirhams, gave it to the beggar, off he went. The narrator of the hadith says, مَا قَامَ عَلِيٌّ مِّن مَجْلِسِهِ حَتَّى جَاءَ رَجُلٌ مَعَهُ جَمَلٌ يُرِيدُ بَيْعَهُ. Sayyidina Ali is sitting there, I'm observing this whole thing, a man passes by with a camel, and he's selling this camel. Sayyidina Ali hasn't moved from his place, quality time with his son, charity in the morning, and yet he strikes a deal, and he doesn't have to go to China to do the deal, Allah brings the deal at his house. So he asked the person, أَتَبِيعُ الْجَمَلِ you're selling the camel? He said, yes indeed. How much? بِمِئَةٍ وَأَرْبَعِينَ دِرْهَمًا 140 dirhams. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, okay, it's a done deal, do me a favor, اعقله. Tie the camel here. على أن نؤخرك بثمنه. I don't have the money, I'll pay you as soon as I have it. عقل يعقل. Those who study the Arabic language and are intrigued by its linguistics and appreciate the depth of its etymology. Sayyid Ahmad Kabir Rifa'i rahmatullah alayhi, who was from the Mashaykh of Baghdad and the Muasireen of great scholars. He said, عقل in Arabic means to tie. عقال means to the rope with which you tie the camel. The human intellect is also called aql because it's supposed to tie and grip your ego and your nafs. If you know Arabic, you'll appreciate what I'm saying. عقال, عقل يعقل. So if it's gripping, if it's controlling, if it's regulating, if it's disciplining, then you have what it calls a brain. Otherwise, I'm afraid you're claiming something and you have absolutely nothing. اعقله, tie it على أن نؤخرك بثمنه. We will pay you as soon as money becomes available. That's fine. The narrator of the hadith says, the man barely leaves and another person comes. A minute passes by. Ali, are you selling this camel? Ali radiallahu said, of course I'm selling it. How much are you selling it for? I'm selling it for 200 dirhams. Qadib ta'tuhu, I have bought it for 200 dirhams. He said, okay, that's fine. He gives Ali radiallahu anhu the 200 dirhams. The man takes his camel. أخذ البعير وأعطى 200 dirhamin, gives the 200 and he goes. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu immediately goes and pays the man from whom he purchased the camel for 140 dirhams, takes the 60 and goes to his wife and gives it to her. She says, what is this here? He replies the verse, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. So Fatima radiallahu anhu says, what is this? Ali radiallahu anhu said, your father has told us that when we spend in the path of Allah, Allah won't only multiply our reward by 10, our monetary returns also by 10. This is a beautiful, perfect, wholesome, exemplary example. Hindsight. Let's reflect. Let's introspect. Let's rewind. Why doesn't this happen to me? Number one, I won't muster the courage to give 6 dirhams in charity if that's all what I owned. Number two, a person comes, he sells the camel to me, I buy it for 140, perfect deal done. Then another person comes, are you selling this camel? Of course I'm selling it. How much? 200? Oh, fine, I took it. Oh, this guy was ready, I think I should have said 250, yeah. Oh, this guy was... That, my brother, has taken barakat away from your life. That greed has made misery in your life. No, no, you know what? Wait, man. I just need to speak to my wife. My wife reminded me that, you know what? Somebody has offered us 250. She just reminded me. Now, give it thought. Look here, if you come up with... That is where my misery comes. That is where your misery comes. This guy was game for anything. I said 200. You know, if I said 300, he would walk away, man. Now I am restless. Anyway, hypothetically, I settled on 200. And he took it on 200. What I did? I didn't go pay the man 140. This weekend I'm splashing with my family. We're going out. I promised to my family a weekend out. So I am usurping and devouring the due of someone else so that I can enjoy a party while his heart hurls the most nasty curse to my progeny. How can the dua of any pious man, how can your tears at the Kaaba rescue you when Allah is responding to his curse? إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ الْآفَاتُ فَالْبُخْلُ شَرُّهَا وَشَرٌّ مِّنَ الْبُخْلِ الْمَوَاعِيدُ وَالْمَطَلُ وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي وَعْدٍ إِذَا كَانَ كَاذِبًا وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي قَوْلٍ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فِعْلُ إِن كُنْتَ ذَا عِلْمٍ وَلَمْ تَكُ عَاقِلًا فَأَنْتَ كَذِي نَعْلٍ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ رِجْلُ وَإِن كُنْتَ ذَا عَقْلٍ وَلَمْ تَكُ عَاقِلًا فَأَنْتَ كَذِي رِجْلٍ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ نَعْلُ أَلَا إِنَّمَا الْإِنسَانُ غِمْدٌ لِعَقْلِهِ وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي غِمْدٍ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ نَسْلُ. The words of Ali radiallahu anhu. Ask those that understand Arabic what a daunting task it is to put this in a translation form. I won't go pay him his 140. This is now where I inflict misery in my life. I swear by Allah, the man that is withholding dues is never happy in his life. How, are you saying the words of Allah incorrect? How long will you run? How long can you run? You will fall. إِذَا جِتَمَعَ الْآفَاتِ. Look at the takhayyul of the sha'ir. Look at the words of Ali radiallahu anhu. إِذَا جِتَمَعَ الْآفَاتِ. If I have to start penning down evil traits, surely the wicked of them all is to mice. No, there's something even worse. That's the words of Ali radiallahu anhu. One is to say that, number one, that's not his expression. If you know Arabic grammar, you know what I'm saying. إِذَا جِتَمَعَ الْآفَاتُ فَالْبُخْلُ شَرُّهَا. If I start penning down evil traits, surely to mice is worse. No. وَشَرٌّ مِّنَ الْبُخْلِ الْمَوَاعِيدُ وَالْمَتَلُ. I forgot there's something worse than that, and that is to make a promise and not honor it, and to delay in settling your debts. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي قَوْلٍ إِذَا كَانَ كَاذِبًا وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي وَعْدٍ. Don't bother making a promise if you're not going to honor it. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي قَوْلٍ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فَعْلُ. And what good is there in an utterance if you can't marry it with action? إِن كُنْتَ ذَا عِلْمٍ. If you've acquired knowledge. وَلَمْ تَكُ عَاقِلًا. But you don't apply your logic. فَأَنْتَ كَذِي رِجْلٍ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ نَعْلُ. Then you have a leg to stand on. فَأَنْتَ كَذِي نَعْلٍ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ رِجْلُ. Then you have shoes but you don't have any legs. If you've acquired knowledge, but you don't apply your logic, you have to marry the two, you have to merge the two, you have to synchronize the two. One works, you know, in hand with the other. And vice versa. وَإِن كُنْتَ ذَا عَقْلٍ. If you rely exclusive on your intellect, I know it all, I read it all, I understand it all. But you're bereft of knowledge. You're devoid of character. You're deprived of values. فَأَنْتَ كَذِي رِجْلٍ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ نَعْلُ. Then you have a leg but you don't have shoes and you'll hurt yourself. أَلَا إِنَّمَا الْإِنسَانُ غِمْدٌ لِعَقْلِهِ وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي غِمْدٍ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ نَسْلُ. you have the sheath or you have the holster. So you keep your gun in there. The sheath is to unsheath the sword or put the sword inside. You walk in around with the sheath but no sword inside. You have no brains. What are you saying? No, no, everything happens upstairs. You got nothing upstairs. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي غِمْدٍ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ نَسْلُ. Second incident. جَلَسَ رَجُلَانِ. I'm talking about self-infliction. Remember, life is challenging. That's what I'm saying. That's it. That's the nature. And we've seen it happening upon us at this time, really in a very loud scale, in a very big way. You barely can digest what you have to do with, and you know what's happening in your neighbor and the family and across the road and the local and the global and the macro level, and it just goes on and on. So at its least, if we can learn to insulate ourselves against self-infliction, hopefully as humanity we will somehow recover. So two people are sitting on the side of the road. Tariq al-Khulafa. This incident has been mentioned. جَلَسَ رَجُلَانِ إِلَى جَانِبِ الطَّرِيقِ يَتَغَدَّيَانِ. They're sitting on the side of the road and they're having lunch. مَعَ أَحَدِهِمَا خَمْسَةُ أَرْغِفَ. One of them had five loaves of bread. وَمَعَ الْآخَرِ ثَلَاثَةُ أَرْغِفَ. And the other one had three loaves. طريق الخلفاء علامة سيوتي رحمة الله عليه has mentioned it. The other one had three loaves. They sat down. فَمَرَّ بِهِمَا رَجُلْ. A person passed by. سَلَّمْ. He greeted. So they responded and they felt ethically, morally, religiously obliged. They said, brother, ijlis wa taghadda ma'ana, please sit down, join us. So he also responded positively and he sat down. فَأَكَلُوا الْأَرْغِفَةَ الثَّمَانِيَةَ بِالسَّوِيَّةِ. They ate the eight loaves equally. Reflect over the words, equally. فَقَامَ الرَّجُلُ الثَّالِثِ. The third person stood up. وَأَعْطَاهُمَا ثَمَانِيَةَ دَرَاهِمْ. And he gave them eight dirhams. He said, خُذَاهَا عِوَضًا عَمَّا أَكَلْتُ مِنْ طَعَامِكُمَا. Listen, brothers, kind of you, I know you haven't asked, but let me acknowledge you, you know, let me acknowledge you. You know, I always say that friend of mine, he says, Molana, people are strange. I tell them I'm selling chocolates, they say, I'm a diabetic. I tell them, take it for free, they say, okay, I'll eat it. What happened to your diabetes? Subhanallah. My brother, the problem is my pocket got diabetes. My pocket has diabetes. My iman has diabetes. If there's heart in this place in your heart, there's place everywhere. Anyway, they ate. He stood up. He said, no, let me acknowledge you. This is the beauty, the balance. They were kind enough. Tu'amul ithnain yakfi thalatha. The food of two is adequate for three. He at the same time reciprocated the kindness and he offered his eight dirhams. They took it. Here comes the element of dispute and discord. Fatanaza'a. They argue, they quarrel. So the one who had five loaves, he said, in all logic, I will take five dirhams, my brother. You had three loaves, you take three. He said, no, takunu baynana munasafa. We must split it equally. I will walk the full legal route. We'll go through all litigation process. This is it. This is the serious problem. I go to Canada often. It's a sad reality. 14 masajids cases are sitting in the court in Toronto. And it's openly gazetted. It's an open story. It's an open book. So I'm not splashing out anything here. I make dua and I hope it recovers. 14 masajids, internal bickering, trustees, masajid related issues are sitting in the courts. So they said, let's go to Sayyidina Ali and resolve it. Now see where things become ugly. Over the element of greed, over one dirham. Over one dirham. You know, we're fighting over it. No, I need to, because you know what, it's so much money. And then just then the dollar falls. And yesterday I was breaking my head for 1,000 rand, and I get up in the morning and I've lost 100,000 rand. And I have no choice. I have absolutely, it's outside my control and my jurisdiction. So they go to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. فَقَصَّ عَلَيْهِمَا حَدَثْ. And they narrate it to Sayyidina Ali. But before I tell you what Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu explained, let me objectively digress and tell you what was the secret of the profoundness in the pronouncement of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Ibn Jarir's narration, some people from Yemen came to Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. Ata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nasum min Yemen. Some people from Yemen came and they said, Ya Rasulullah, ib'ath fina man yufaqihuna fi ddeen, wa yu'allimuna as-sunan, wa yahkum fina bi kitabillah. Please be kind enough to delegate someone responsible enough who can impart and disseminate to us the sciences of Islam, to whom we can identify and rely. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companions around him, everyone was capable to the limit. You know, sometimes somebody says, can I use one of your students? Now you're looking around, hey, you know, I don't mind, but I don't know who to trust. Sayyidina Luqman said, send a wise man as a messenger, and if you don't find a wise man, delay your task or get up and go yourself. Sayyidina Luqman said, depute a wise man, and if you don't find a wise man, delay your task or get up yourself and do it. Don't give it to anyone else, your regrets will be greater. So Nabi alayhi salam said, Ali, there's the call to Yemen, respond to the call. Intaliq ya Ali, fafaqihhum fid deen, wa'allimhum as-sunan, wahkum fihim bikitabillah. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, inna ahla al-Yaman qawmun tagham, ya'tuni min al-qada bima la ilma li fihi. O Nabi of Allah, the people of Yemen, I don't have a problem, but sometimes they can, you know what, throw a curve ball to me. And sometimes they can present me with very complex issues. And I don't know if I have what it takes to resolve the complexity of their matters. فَضَرَبَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ صَدْرِي. He gently struck my chest. And he said, اِذْهَبْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيَهْدِي قَلْبَكْ وَيُثَبِّتُ لِسَانَكْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيَهْدِي قَلْبَكْ وَيُثَبِّتُ لِسَانَكْ Go, O Ali, Allah will guide your heart and inspire your tongue. فَمَا شَكَكْتُ فِي قَضَاءٍ بَيْنَ اثْنَتَيْنِ حَتَّى السَّاعَةِ From that day till the day I died, I never doubted or had difficulty in pronouncing any judgment regardless of how confusing or how severe the nature of the altercation was. One day in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, two incidents, and we continue with what I was saying, but just to give you a glimpse into the wisdom of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, one person was stoning a woman, flogging a woman. So Umar radiallahu anhu intervened and he said, what's the matter? He said, oh Umar, tazawwajtuha, I wedded this woman, فَأَنْجَبَتْ لِي بَعْدَ سِتَّةَ أَشْهُرُ She gave birth to a child within 6 months. So obviously that gets me confused and worried, perhaps there was an early deposit. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, obviously, brothers, there are such disturbing things coming out. There are such frightening stories that we are hearing, that people living under a common roof, assuming that they are the father of the child, at 4 and 5 years when medical reports are presenting, and it's not corresponding with common blood groups, are we discovering you're not the father? Take him for a blood test, take him for this, do that, correspond details, and then there is alarming things happening. Allah guide, Allah protect. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu, Sayyidina Umar said, okay, then stone her, and whatever has to happen. Ali radiallahu came from the rear and he said, إِنَّهَا بَرِيَةٌ مِّنَ الزِّنَا I exonerate her, and I vindicate her. She's an innocent woman. So Umar said, okay, wait, back off, Ali has a contrary verdict. He said, Ali, support your verdict, radiallahu anhu. He said, Allah says two verses in the Quran, and through that I will deduce. وَالْوَالِدَاتُ يُرْضِعْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَن يُتِمَّ الرَّضَاعَ In Surah Baqarah, in the second juz, Allah says, it is upon the woman to nurse her child for 2 years. Surah Ahqaf, 26 juz, first quarter. وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا Allah says the pregnancy period, the nursing period, and the weaning period is 30 months. How do we reconcile between this 2 year? One verse suggests that 2 months is the weaning period, and another verse suggests that everything is wrapped up in 30 months. That's a subtle hint to the fact that there is possibility of birth, legitimate birth within 6 months. Because 30 months gives a conclusive package, and another verse says, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is exhilarating, he is overwhelmed, he is ecstatic. Lawla Aliyun lahalaka Umar, and that was the beauty of Sahaba. May Allah bless you, may Allah reward you, may Allah open you, may Allah inspire you. You have rescued Umar today, you have rescued Umar. There is a narration in Bayhaqi, one woman, her husband was out, Imra'atun mughayyiba, ghaba anha zawjuha. But people were visiting there, and obviously there was some concern, and it was a bit alarming to know why were men going there, what was the explanation to it. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, let's probe it, let's query it. And he said, call that woman and come. She was obviously pregnant as well. Initially she declined and she says, no, Mali wali Umar. Mali wali Umar, what I'm going to go there by Umar? Uta jaine hu kewa? What am I going to go there? What am I going to say? They said, no, Ajibi Umar, Ajibi Ben, you have to go. Amir al-Mu'mineen is calling. Anyway, she mustered the courage, she comes out. Now the fear, the awe of Umar, darabaha talqu, her anguish prompted early labor. Dakhalat daran, she entered the house. Alqat waladaha, premature, she gave birth. Saha sabiyu sayhatain, the child made a scream or a cry and he passed away. Fastashara Umaru in Adl, Kitabul Adl in Hayatul Sahaba. I was in December in Toronto, and mashallah there was a very big event there. It was like a good few thousand. So some youngsters came from America. There was about 4,000 or 5,000. Just one thing I want to share there. So, you know, it was so heartening. They came to me and said, Sheikh, I've been listening to you and following you. There's two kitabs I really want to buy. This poetry of Imam Shafi and this Hayatul Sahaba. I said, Allah, bring that kitabs in your house. Inshallah, that will have its own barakah. Wallah, the writings of the pious, the du'as of the pious, the advices of the pious has its own share of barakah in our lives. It has its own share. I said, brother, buy this kitab and keep this. And ideally you read it and imbibe it and convey it. You will see the lives of Sahaba, what it will do to you. Hayatul Sahaba is an amazing kitab. It's an amazing kitab. I just cannot tell you, seeing the beauty in this kitab. So anyway, فَاسْتَشَارَ عُمَرُ أَصْحَابَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Umar radiallahu anhu consulted with the sahaba, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ شَيْءٍ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ وَالٍ وَمُؤَدِّبٍ. No, you acted within your rights. You perfectly entitled. You didn't do anything. She reacted harshly. That's her choice. It's within your act. So I don't think there's any legal implications upon you. Sayyidina Ali didn't look impressed. So if we see somebody is not impressed, we will bypass him. Sayyidina Umar said, Ali, any response from you? He said, إِن كَانُوا قَالُوا بِرَأْيِهِمْ فَقَدْ اِخْطَأَ رَأْيُهُمْ وَإِن كَانُوا قَالُوا فِي هَوَاكَ فَلَمْ يَنْصَحُوكَ. I don't know if they've erred in their verdict or they don't understand your interests. أَرَىٰ أَنَّدِيَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ. Your Excellency, with utmost respect to your presence, you are liable. You prompted the anguish in this woman. You provoked this entire uneasiness. You are liable, Umar. You will have to take responsibility of this. He said, I appreciate it. And adequate measures were then instituted. Coming back to the point, these people ate, they ate loaves and they went to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. They went to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. What did I say? Half of our problems are because of greed. Now it's a whole long drawn event. Take your 8 dirhams, my brother, take 3 and go. You take 5 and go. Over. So they get to Sayyidina Ali. Ali radiallahu anhu hears the entire thing. Look at the wisdom of Ali. Look at the foresight. And then we want to still read other people. This thing is, it hurts me, it bites me, it consumes me. It just doesn't gel with my logic when we have such intelligent thinkers and such great people in our annals. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu addressed the person who had 3 loaves. He said to him, قَدْ عَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ صَاحِبُكَ مَا عَرَضَ وَخُبْزُهُ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ خُبْزِكَ فَخُذِ الدَّرَاهِمَ الثَّلَاثَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ. Listen, brother, before I start giving you an official ruling, let me give you my advice. This brother of yours, this friend of yours, has made a proposal to you. Take it from me, walk away with 3, you'll be more happy. You have 3 loaves, this man has made a proposal to you, take 3, settle on this, you'll be a happy man. No, لَنْ أَخُذَ إِلَّا حَقِّي. Nobody eats my money. Yeah, me, I'll take him to the graveyard. You know, my late brother was a gangster. Don't be deceived by my beard. My brother, hold your horses, stay in your tracks. No, I want my right. I want my share. Sayyidina Ali said, you insisting? He said, yeah, I want my share. He said, okay, then I'm sorry to inform you, in terms of right and due, you don't get three nor two, you walk away with one only. لَيْسَ لَكَ إِلَّا دِرْهَمٌ وَاحِدٌ. If you think that's astonishing, now see how he unfolds and unpacks this. When I read this, my heart cried, my eye teared. I said, Allah, what people you created? هَيْهَاتَ هَيْهَاتَ أَنْ يَأْتِ الزَّمَانُ بِمِثْلِهِ إِنَّ الزَّمَانَ بِمِثْلِهِ لَبَخِيلُ. حَلَفَ الزَّمَانُ لَيَأْتِيَنَّ بِمِثْلِهِمْ حَنَثَتْ يَمِينُكَ يَا زَمَانُ فَكَفِّرْ. You have to see the ta'bir of the shu'ara. The Arabic poet says, addressing the world and the time, he says, you've promised us. He's talking to the world. You've promised us, you're going to repeat the likes of Sahaba. You failed miserably in your oath. It's time you atone for your false oath. Oh my word. It's time you atone for this false oath. The world in its entirety cannot produce one like Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, in terms of right and due, my brother, now it's over. I told you take three and walk, you would have been a happy man. But I want to argue and I want to say, no, no, we'll negotiate and we'll do this. You're not getting happy. It's a futile exercise. You bring in misery, you bring in wrath, you bring in unpleasantness. So life is challenging, it is daunting. You're compounding it by this element of greed. So, فَقَالَ الرَّجُلُ مُتَعَجِّبًا سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَرِّفْنِي كَيْفَ ذَلِكَ حَتَّى أَقْبَلَهُ. And tell me, how is only one my right? When, how, what? Explain. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, listen. أَلَيْسَ لِلثَّمَانِيَةِ الْأَرْغِفَةِ أَرْبَعَةٌ وَعِشْرُونَ ثُلُثًا. Take eight and divide it into three people equally. You cannot do it. Cut each loaf into halves and make it 16 portions and divide it into three equally. You cannot. Double it and make it 24. Yes, you can. So you told me three of yous ate eight loaves equally. That's what you had told me, and I'd mentioned that in the beginning when I was speaking about this here. So effectively it means, to understand what you said, that these eight loaves were divided into 24 portions. وَإِذَا قُسِّمَ عَلَى ثَلَاثَ. And when you divide 24 portions over three people, صَارَ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ ثَمَانِيَةَ أَثْلَاثٍ. Then every person comes home with eight portions. That's basically what it means. وَأَرْغِفَتُكَ الثَّلَاثَةُ تُسَاوِي تِسْعَةَ أَثْلَاثٍ. And your three loaves times three equates nine. أَكَلْتَ مِنْهَا ثَمَانِيَةً. From which you ate eight. وَبَقِيَ لَكَ ثُلُثٌ. And only one portion of your nine portions were not eaten by you. وَأَمَّا صَاحِبُكَ. And your friend. فَأَرْغِفَتُهُ الْخَمْسَةَ. His five loaves. تُسَاوِي خَمْسَةَ عَشْرَ ثُلُثًا. Five times three becomes 15. أَكَلَ مِنْهَا سَبْعَةً. He ate from, أَكَلَ مِنْهَا ثَمَانِيَةً. He ate from it eight. وَبَقِيَ لَهُ سَبْعَةٌ. Instantly, no computer, let me go online. Wait, 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 the lines are down here. Wait, man, my service is... No, no, this is the mind, this is the brain. أَكَلَ مِنْهَا ثَمَانِيَةً. He ate eight. بَقِيَ لَهُ سَبْعَةٌ. He had seven portions from his five loaves which were not eaten by him. أَكَلَهَا صَاحِبُ الدَّرَاهِمِ مَعَ ثُلُثِكَ. That third person ate his seven with your one, which becomes eight for him. ثُمَّ أَعْطَاكُمْ ثَمَانِيَةَ الدَّرَاهِمْ. Then he dropped your eight dirhams. فَلَكَ دِرْهَمٌ وَاحِدٌ. So take your one and move and give your friend his seven. He says, no, no, hey, but that three was sounding good, my brother. Yes, my friend, it was sounding good. Where did the misery come from? Greed. Where did the misery come from? Greed. So telling my wife, I'll be coming late. I'm trying to strike a deal. In the end, I don't come home with anything more. In fact, I deny myself what I had. And I come home miserable and agitated and frustrated. Because greed has paralyzed me. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, third incident, walks out in the night. It is cold. He is hungry. تَرْتَعِشُ أَطْرَافُهُ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْبَرْدِ وَالْجُوءِ. He's trembling with cold and hunger. He has a piece of leather. أَخَذَ قِطْعَةً مِّنْ حَصِيرٍ كَانَتْ عَنْدَهُ. قَطَعَهَا. He cuts it. أَدْخَلَهَا تَحْتَ ثِيَابِهِ. He inserts it beneath his clothing. رَبَطَ بِهَا صَدْرَهُ. He then ties it on his chest. لِيَسْتَدْفِئَ بِهَا. To draw some heat from it. وَالْأَنْعَامَ خَلَقَهَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ. لكم فيها دفء ومنافع ومنها تأكلون ولكم فيها جمال حين تريحون وحين تسرحون. سورة أنعام, سورة النحل, the bee. Another name of the surah is Surah Ni'am, bounties. Allah says, we created the animal for you. From its hide, dif'un adfa, you draw warmth and coolness. So he puts it to draw some heat and some warmth from it. He says, ma fi al-bayti shay'un akulu minhu, there's nothing at home that I can eat. وَلَوْ كَانَ فِي بَيْتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. Our children's arrogance is gone to such a level that even if you take them out to eat, they moan in and groan in. They fuss in. I don't like this, yeah? I'm tired of this fish. You know what? This is a delicacy that some eat once a year. And my child snubs this and frowns on that delicacy. Going out to eat supposed to mend the relation. Many of the altercations happen when we out in. There is only misery today. There is misery in the lives. I'm only talking of one self-inflicted. Otherwise the list can continue on how many things we have caused harm to ourselves. There's nothing at home that I can eat. وَلَوْ كَانَ فِي بَيْتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ شَيْءٍ لَبَلَغَنِي. And if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had, he would have given me. He walks out, one Yahudi sees him. He says, oh Ali, what is the problem? He says, الْجُوعُ وَالْبَرْدُ. Hunger and extreme cold. And in cold you feel more hungry. It's a natural feeling. He says, هَلْ لَكَ أَن تَمْلَأَ لِي مَاءً عَلَىٰ أَن تَأْخُذَ مِن كُلِّ دَلْوٍ تَمْرًا. You ready to work? He's hungry. That's the other problem with the youth of today. They don't want to flex their muscles. They don't want to move themselves. Everything has to fall on their plate. Sayyidina Ali is hungry. I don't know what nation we're giving rise to. I don't know what's the future of tomorrow holding. Maryam alayhi salam is giving birth to one of the Ulul Azm prophets. Her birth is not been seen by the top gynecologist. It's been overseen by the great and chief angel Jibreel. Allah puts Jibreel, you take care of Maryam's birth. Modesty calls, he keeps himself at a distance. فَنَادَاهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيًّا. You know, I have been in the labor room of my wife and you're petting her and you're comforting her and we're fine and we'll take care and be okay and Allah is there. And here comes Jibreel saying, be calm and composed, Maryam. All is under the care of Allah and the camera of Allah and the eye of Allah. أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيًّا. Allah has caused a spring from the earth to gush. Allah is making divine arrangements. The Mufassirin deduce this. جَزَاهُمُ اللَّهُ عَنَّا خَيْرَ الْجَزَاءُ. Everything is happening miraculously, not by the common law of cause and effect. And Allah is providing dates for her divinely. But even in the divine miraculous provision at the critical point of birth, Allah says, وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطَ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا. Maryam, I'm going to give you dates, and awesome dates, and best dates. But this is the system of this world. Just lift your hand a little, be slightly strong, and shake that branch, but I'll give it to you. But you'll have to shake that branch. The youth of today don't want to shake anything, other than unfortunately haram. The Mufassirin, while I'm on this, I'll just share one point. I read it in the tafsirs. Allah first arranged for the drink, then Allah arranged for the food, then Allah said, eat first and drink thereafter. فَكُلِي وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا. You have to see how Mufassirin open every letter. Why did Allah say this first and why did Allah say that first? So they say it's human nature that when you sit down to eat, you want your drink to be there first, although you will drink it afterwards. But you won't start biting the burger till you don't have the drink. It's amazing how you need your drink there to comfort yourself, although you'll eat first and drink thereafter. Anyway, Allah tells Maryam, shake the branch and the dates fall. In that lies your honor. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, even the most mean of jobs are not so disgraceful as depending on handout ease. Even the most mean of jobs, the most simple of tasks, the most trivial of jobs are not so disgraceful as waiting for a handout or begging. Sayyidina Ali is hungry, it's cold, he starts filling the bucket. He starts filling the bucket. Every time he fills one bucket, أَعْطَاهُ الْيَهُودِيُّ تَمْرَةً. He's given one date. He fills a load, takes one date. Fills another load, takes another date. حَتَّمْ تَلَأَتْ كَفُّهُ Until his palm is full. The Yahudi says, I still got many other buckets to be filled. He said, this is enough for my one day. حَسْبُكَ مِنِّي الْآنِ But this is enough for my day. But I will give you enough for tomorrow. But I'm happy with today. Now you got a flight to come back, and just when you come in back, Ching Chong offered you a better deal in China. So now I need to speak to my travel agent. Can you put me on the next flight? And tell Ibrahim to open the shop. And tell the driver to pick up the children tomorrow. You know why? If this thing comes through, then you just tell them we can do a holiday in business class. We can do a holiday in business class. And if this thing comes right, inshallah, Umrah end of this year and Dubai next year. So this is my life. Sayyidina Ali said, you want more? No. حَتَّمْ تَلَّأَتْ كَفُّهُ My palm is full. I'm happy. Thank you very much. Your buckets. Take care of it. Good luck to you. فَأَكَلَ التَّمَرَاتِ He ate the dates. وَشَرِبَ عَلَيْهِنَّ قَلِيلًا مِنَ الْمَاءِ And he drank the water. And then he came straight to the group of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. This is where they came and they comforted their pain and they brought solace to their agony and they relieved themselves from all their anguish. And he was about to perhaps steal the show in relation to his challenge when a sahabi with greater circumstances appeared. وَحَوْلَهُ هَالَةٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِهِ And Ali walks in and he captures the extraordinary attention of Nabi alayhi salam and the frail nature of his body was rather loud and the pale color of his skin was giving it away and the Prophet of Allah was on the verge of tearing and embracing him when the young talented Mus'ab ibn Umair walked in with torn and tattered and he reduced the whole group to tears. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Ali looked at Mus'ab in the torn and tattered clothes, the young man who used to wear the most exclusive dress, who had the most flashing dress. And Nabi alayhi sallam said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ مُسْعَبًا هَذَا وَمَا بِمَكَّةَ فَتَنْ أَنْعَمُ عِنْدَ أَبَوَيْهِ مِنْهُ لَقَدْ تَرَكَ ذَلِكَ كُلَّهُ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ You people don't know this boy. I know him when he was arrogant and affluent, flamboyant and shameless. Today he doesn't have cloth to cover his body. In my Seerah talk recently, I mentioned the couplets of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, and I will quote that one stanza, the one verse. He said, يُصَلَّى عَلَى الْمَبْعُوثِ مِنْ آلِ هَاشِمٍ يُصَلَّى عَلَى الْمَبْعُوثِ مِنْ آلِ هَاشِمٍ وَيُغْزَى بَنُوهُ إِنَّ ذَا لَعَجِيبُ You send salutations on the Hashemite Nabi, and you kill his grandson in Iraq, you kill his grandson, what a contradiction in the expression of your love. You send salutations, my brother, you have a durood khatam, or you have a pretext of a durood khatam, and you have a Quran khatam, pre the wedding, and the day of wedding, shameless, arrogant, flamboyant, deliberate, loud, public, repeatedly you disobey Allah without a frown on a forehead. Inna dhala ajeebu. I don't know what your durood is going to do and what your khatams will be. I don't know what it's going to do. Yusalla ala al-mab'uthi min ali hashim. You send durood and you kill his grandson. Before you open the shop, Quran khatam, durood khatam, this dua, this, and the next day you start off on interest. Well now, which is the right day to start? مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ بُدِئَ يَوْمَ الْأَرْبِعَاءِ إِلَّا وَقَدْ تَمَّ Now you look at that hadith also. I heard there's some virtue of Wednesday also. MashaAllah, you latch in on to the slightest virtue. But arrogantly, deliberately, loudly, you are doing the open forbidden. You think the presence of some scholars and their supplication can undo the divine wrath of Allah? Forget about it. The presence of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle of Hunain could not attract the mercy of Allah when the gaze of Sahaba inadvertently, unintentionally went on their numbers a portion and momentarily. إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا Nabi alayhi salam said, كَيْفَ بِكُمْ He looked at them. Look at their level of submission. Sayyidina Ali came like this. Sayyidina Mus'ab ibn Umair came like this. He said, oh, you know, I see an era of super prosperity. كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذْ غَدَى أَحَدُكُمْ فِي حُلَّةٍ وَرَاحَ فِي حُلَّةٍ أُخْرَى
وسترتم بيوتكم كما تستر الكعبة. Sahaba, Sahaba, what will happen a time when you will pride yourself in decorating your homes pretty much as the Kaaba is decorated? Today Mus'ab doesn't have clothing. I foresee a day when every ummati will have multiple outfits. What has greed done? It has brought misery to our lives. Nabi Sassam walks into the garden of one Sahabi. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is what? Nabi Sassam picked up a date and he ate it. He told Ibn Umar, join me and eat. La ashtahi, O Nabi of Allah, I don't have an inclination now. Nabi Sassam said, that's good. Your matter is still to do with inclination and disinclination. 4 days have lapsed, nothing edible has entered the belly of your Nabi. You still at the stage of feeling or not feeling, wanting or not wanting. Then Nabi alayhi salam said, the narration is in Hayat al-Sahaba, كَيْفَ بِكَ يَبْنَ عُمَرْ إِذَا بَقِيتَ فِي قَوْمٍ يَخْبِئُونَ رِزْقَ سَنَتِهِمْ وَيَضْعُفُ الْيَقِينَ. Ali, or Ibn Umar, a time will come, today we debating and arguing, having not arguing, you'll walk into any of my ummati, averagely they will have provision for a year. Averagely they will have provision for a year. Every day when I see what's happening around in the world, I have a fresh opportunity to renew my iman on the truthfulness of the words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We heard about the painful tale in the news this week or last week. A boy weds his mother. There was a newspaper article and it was on many bulletins. A boy weds his mother. I shivered. I said, Allah, what a time have we come to, my Allah. My Allah, what are these eyes seen? We read the hadith of Tirmidhi. We never thought we will have to live to see this day. We read the hadith of Tirmidhi. And I recall distinctly when I was in Dora this hadith. لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي كَمَا أَتَىٰ عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ حَذْوَ النَّعْلِ بِالنَّعْلِ حَتَّىٰ إِنْ كَانَ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَتَىٰ أُمَّهُ عَلَانِيَا لَكَانَ فِي أُمَّتِي مَنْ يَصْنَعُ ذَلِكَ. Read Tirmidhi. Every practice, every evil trait that happened in the previous times will grip and plague my ummah to the extent if a man committed incest with his mother, surely it would repeat its lights in my ummah. We read this, we never for a moment thought these eyes will have to live up to see it. Allah alone knows. My granny, may Allah forgive her and elevate my grandparents and the entire ummah. You know, I was a little child, but she used to say these words and it rings in my ears. She say, I juni aati navva tamasha ni jawai. These old eyes can't see these new fitnas anymore. These old eyes only know modesty. These old eyes don't know scantily dressed woman. These old ears only know integrity. They don't know arrogance and disobedience. These old eyes only knew you hold the Quran with respect and honor. These old eyes don't know and never heard blaring music. Every day when I used to meet her, I was a little child. And when she passed away, I was still young. But these ears, these words have left an indelible impression in my heart. She said, these old eyes cannot see these new pains, these new trials. Jabir radiallahu anhu comes to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Ali said, this world will prosper if there are 4 types of people. Alimun yasta'milu ilmahu, a scholar, a great scholar. And I think it's only opportune for me to speak and remind ourselves of the great Maulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullah alayh. When we speak of scholars, then he was a man who had touched every one of us in his own way. And what did the Arabic poet say? قَدْ ذَهَبَ النَّاسُ وَمَاتَ الْكَمَالُ قَدْ ذَهَبَ النَّاسُ وَمَاتَ الْكَمَالُ وَصَاحَ صَرْفُ الدَّهْرِ أَيْنَ الرِّجَالُ وَصَاحَ صَرْفُ الدَّهْرِ أَيْنَ الرِّجَالُ. The great giants have moved on, and with them they took in their bosom the profoundness of their character. The earth called out, where are the Yunus Patels of today? Where are these people? وَصَاحَ صَرْفُ الدَّهْرِ أَيْنَ. Where are men? Allama Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned, and I read it in his Mathnawi, a person came in the marketplace with a torch. And he started walking around. People said, it's broad daylight, my friend. On the solar system, cars are moving also. What are you using your torch? He said, help me, man, I'm looking for human beings. Hello? Sorry, this is moving. I'm looking for human. He said, what do you see? He says, these are slaves of the egos. I'm looking for humans. وَصَاحَ صَرْفُ الدَّهْرِ أَيْنَ الرِّجَالِ هَذَا أَبُو الْعَبَّاسِ فِي نَعْشِهِ قُومُوا فَانْذُرُوا كَيْفَ تَسِيرُ الْجِبَالُ. Stand up and put his corpse farewell. This is how we have to lower mountains in the qabars. This is how we have to go and drop them in the qabars. And they are going swiftly, my brother. They are going rapidly, my brother. If you follow news on the global level, in the recent time, great scholars have moved on. And everyone leaves a vacuum, and nobody can replace that vacuum. لَقَدْ قُتِلَ سَعِيدُ بْنُ جُبَيْرٍ. Imam Malik said, when Sa'id ibn Jubair was killed, لَقَدْ قُتِلَ سَعِيدُ بْنُ جُبَيْرٍ وَمَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا وَهُوَ مُحْتَاجٌ إِلَىٰ عِلْمِهِ. The death of Sa'id ibn Jubair leaves the Muslim world as orphans. The real scholars have moved on. Those that are yearning the senior, and I'm nothing. I know my weakness, my brother. And this is not time for me to discuss, but the senior ulama, value them, honor them, revere them, respect them. So he said, Sayyidina Ali said, number one, a scholar. May Allah shower his choicest blessings on the soul of Mawlana Rahmatullah Ali. I am optimistic from Allah, and I have this conviction in Allah, that our numbers that have gathered here, undoubtedly is his cry, his dua, his vision and his hope. And whatever will continue to come here, and the good that will continue to spread, will be in his account and in his credit till the day of Qiyamah, inshallah. I don't know how many times I've quoted this particular poem of Imam Shafi, rahmatullah alayh. قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ وَعَاشَ قَوْمٌ وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتُ. Some people have died a physical death, but their character has kept them alive. Others are physically alive, but the evil has killed them before they physically die. He's physically moved on as a mortal, but he's alive in his character. While others are physically alive, and every day people are wishing they die. قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ. My brother, it's better that history doesn't record you than remember you in an evil way. Ideally, history preserves you in a good way. وَجَعَلْ لِي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ وَجَعَلْ لِي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ وَجَعَلْنِي مِنْ وَرَثَةِ جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ. One of the aspirations and the visions and the supplications of the Prophet Abraham, and let my noble legacy continue, and let my name be honored and revered in the generations to come. And how Allah has responded positively, that Sayyidina Ibrahim enjoys being the faith of the three divine religions. Be it as it may, Sayyidina Ali said, a scholar. Number one, you need a scholar. عَالِمٌ يَسْتَعْمِلُ عِلْمَهُ. Number two, you need جَاهِلٌ لَا يَسْتَنْكِفُ أَن يَتَعَلَّمُ. An ignorant man who's ready to learn, who's not proud, who's not arrogant. You see, there are some people who argue, but they have, you find some people who argue, the only basis of the argument is they're well read. So you know what, he will argue with the ulama, he will challenge the ulama, the only basis, the only leg he's got, he's a well-read man. And I have interacted and encountered with many such people. Then you have another person who's not educated, who's not tutored, but he's well-traveled. He's a seasoned traveler, he's a globe-trotter. So obviously he acquires quite a bit of things, he sees, he observes, he learns, he picks up. So he argues. Then you get some people who are not well-read, nor travel, but they argue. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ. You must see in Bayanu al-Quran what's written, عِلْمِ إِسْتِدْلَالِ عَقْلِ نَقْلِ. It will become philosophical and academic and scholastic. So the second person is an ignorant man who's ready to learn. The third person is سَخِيٌ. A wealthy man who's generous. His hand is loose and is ready to spend. He's ready to spend. In Madarik al-Tanzeel, in Surah Mumtahina, there's an incident mentioned where Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Ansar. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ So a person by the name of Abu Zayd says, قَالَ لِي شَابٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ بَلْخ. Once upon a time, what were the discussions of the youth of that time? What do I say to the youth of today, if you only dedicate the time that you use in fantasizing on your first night in the zikr of Allah, you will be the wali of this time. If you dedicate the time that you fantasize on the first night, and today really you don't even know because there's demo models, as they say. Forgive the phrase. Excuse the expression. Yesterday, Maulana, Maulana, Assalamu Alaikum. Is this strange? We performed the silent nikah. Is it okay? Hello? Sorry, who's speaking? How can it be okay? And even if it's okay, I won't tell you it's okay. How can it be okay? Okay, so must I still stay away? Obviously. You cannot believe the type of calls that come in and how people phone in and what's happening. Once upon a time, these were the statements of the youth. Abu Zayd said, قَالَ لِي شَابٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ بَلْخ. A youngster from Balkh came to me. He said, مَا تَعُدُّونَ الزُّهْدَ فِيكُمْ. A young boy is asking, what's the definition of zuhd? Zuhd commonly translated as abstinence and disinclination. But somebody translated it very beautifully in the English language, and I really took to this translation. They said, zuhd doesn't mean that you mustn't possess the world, but rather it means the world mustn't possess you. Zuhd doesn't mean that you cannot possess the world, but rather it means that the world must not possess you. In English they say, to discipline yourself, if you're intrigued into something, you must walk away at the most critical moment. I read this in an English book. These are our teachings. At the most critical, the most crucial moment, you close the book. I'm not saying watch a match, but walk away. No, no, you say I'm advocating it. I'm not saying that. Whatever you intrigue, you gripped, you riveted into, at the most critical moment you move away. This thing will not dictate and control to me. So this youngster asked me, what is the definition of zuhud? So I said to him, إِذَا وَجَدْنَا أَكَلْنَا وَإِذَا فَقَدْنَا صَبَرْنَا. When we have, we must eat, and when we don't have, we make sabr. He said, هَكَذَا عِنْدَنَا كِلَابُ بَلْخ. Read Madarik al-Tanzil, Surah Mumtahina. It's mentioned there. Surah Hashr. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُ الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ. He said, sorry my brother, I don't know if it's this level of piety, no offense, this is even found in the dogs of our street. Our dogs, when they don't have, they don't invade a property. They make sabr. So then I said, okay, I backtrack. I revoke my sentiments. Please be kind enough to define to me what is zuhud. He said, إِذَا وَجَدْنَا أَكَلْنَا إِذَا وَجَدْنَا آثَرْنَا وَإِذَا فَقَدْنَا صَبَرْنَا. When we have, we feed the whole creation. When we don't have, we join the others and make sabr. When we have, we invite. Why? Today Allah gave, so we invite in others. Imam Abu Hanifa, I read it. Nu'man ibn Thabit. One is his jurisprudence. That's great. But study him as a businessman. Study him as a man. Whatever money he spent on his family, the equivalent amount he gave in charity. How about taking your family out for a meal, for a nice fish meal at a restaurant? It's going to set you back a good 500 bucks. You're battling to drop a 5 rand in the hand of a beggar after that. You're debating with a lousy 5 rand. And then you're appeasing yourself. Others are giving him 50 cents. I gave times 10. We're playing games, my brothers. We're playing games. So what did he say? The third person is a generous man. And the fourth person, فَقِيرٌ لَا يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ. A poor man who doesn't forsake his deen because of poverty. Then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu sang the couplets, مَا أَحْسَنَ الدُّنْيَا وَإِقْبَالَهَا إِذَا أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ مَنَّا لَهَا مَنْ لَمْ يُوَاسِ النَّاسَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ عَرَّضَ لِلْإِدْبَارِ إِقْبَالَهَا فَاحْذَرْ زَوَالَ الْفَضْلِ يَا جَابِرْ وَأَعْطِ مِنْ دُنْيَا كَمَنْ سَأَلَهَا فَإِنَّ ذَا الْعَرْشِ جَزِيلُ الْعَطَى يُضَعِّفُ بِالْحَبَّةِ أَمْثَالَهَا وَكَمْ رَأَيْنَا مِنْ ذَوِي ثَرْوَةَ لم يقبلوا بالشكر إقبالها تاهوا على الدنيا بأموالهم وقيدوا بالبخل أقفالها لو شكروا النعمة جازاهم. It carries on, it will be too long. In a nutshell, he says, this world is great if the man who has it knows how to use it. Then he says, Jabir, the recipe to increase what you have is what you take from Allah, pass on to the creation of Allah. فَاحْذَرْ زَوَالَ الْفَضْلِ يَا جَابِرِ. And he lived up to it. Usud al-Ghaba, the narration, page 98. Someone came to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He said this verse, أَلَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً. Those who spend by night and by day, openly and secretly. Who enjoys this privilege? Abdullah ibn Abbas said, besides Ali, who else? One janazah was brought. أَتَتْ جَنَازَةٌ مَحْمُولَةٌ عَلَى الْأَعْنَاقِ. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam's teachings was, هَلْ تَرَكَ مِنْ دَيْنٍ. Has the brother left behind any debts? So they said, yes, he's left behind debts. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هَلْ تَرَكَ مِنْ وَفَائِنْ. Has he left behind money to settle the debts? They said, no. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then I won't have the courage to lead his funeral prayer. The Nabi of Allah moves away. Islam is a great religion. Let me digress here. One thought comes to mind. In the Quran, when the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed, it was a very one-sided peace treaty. One of the clauses were that if a Muslim comes from Makkah to Medina, Makkah is not conducive because it's infested with the infidels. It's not supportive to the Muslims. The Muslims are in Medina, it's safe, it's protective, it's peaceful for them. If a Muslim sneaks out from Makkah and he comes to Medina, then the Muslims in Medina cannot keep him, they must return him. Yet on the reverse, if a kafir comes, then you cannot apprehend him, you must return him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam agreed and he said it's fine. Anyway, this happened and the peace treaty was concluded. Long story short. Thereafter, some woman came and then this verse was revealed which made an exception to the clause. I don't want to go into the details, but I want to elaborate on one point. I read it in the tafsir. So if a woman comes from Makkah, meaning she embraces the faith, or she is a Muslim, she leaves her non-Muslim husband, and she comes to Medina, then don't return her. This is an exception to the clause, because she is a weak person, she is a female, she is vulnerable, there's so much harm that could be inflicted upon her. So take her back and keep her there. However, ascertain that the motivation of her migration is noble, and she's not forsaking her partner or anything else, she's not being motivated by any other venture in Medina. She's coming earnestly to protect her iman. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha ja'akumul mu'minatu muhajiratin famtahinuhun. Just I beg of your undivided attention. I want to show you the dealings of Islam. Allahu a'lamu bi imanihin. Allah knows the truth, but ask her basic questions and make sure she's coming as a Muslim. She's not a spy. She doesn't have ulterior motive. She doesn't have any sinister agenda. There's nothing malicious. It's clean and clear, open book. فَإِنْ عَلِمْتُمُوهُنَّ مُؤْمِنَاتٍ فَلَا تَرْجِعُوهُنَّ إِلَى الْكُفَّارِ لَا هُنَّ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحِلُّونَ لَهُنَّ. At this point, hostility is at its peak. Take her there and keep her there. However, she was formerly the wife of a non-Muslim in Makkah. That man had given her dowry as his permanent partner. She embraced the faith and came away here. Give her shelter and protect and harness her, but be sure to return the equivalent dowry to the kafir husband in Makkah. Be sure, this is the words of the Quran. You think you're doing Thomas and Peter and John down and you'll go to the Kaaba and patch up? It can't happen. وَآتُوهُمْ مَا أَنْفَقُوا. It's long, I don't want to go into all those details. So the janazah was brought. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he's got a debt. He said, yes. He said, okay, then I'm not performing janazah. Sayyidina Ali comes from the rear. O Nabi of Allah, I haven't identified the deceased. And I'm not sure what the liabilities are. I have adopted his liabilities. Don't deny the man your prayer. All the claims are on me. Oh, what an atmosphere. We're having a fight at a janazah. Park here. Who are you to tell me? Off your phone. Oh, my Allah. There's an argument in front of the qabr. And look at the atmosphere from the sahaba. The Nabi of Allah says, I'm backing off. Ali comes forward. وَخَشِيَ عَلِيٌّ أَن يُحْرَمَ الرَّجُلُ مِن بَرْكَةِ صَلَاةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Oh, Nabi of Allah, don't deny the man. Please, whoever have any claims, talk to me after the janazah. I adopt his liabilities. Is my Nabi's face radiating with light? فَكَّ اللَّهُ رِهَانَكَ مِنَ النَّارِ كَمَا فَكَكْتَ رِهَانَ أَخِيكَ الْمُسْلِمِ. Ali, take it from me, before he's saved from hell, you saved. Where is this in this ummah? We are not ready to adopt liabilities. Somebody, we will not excuse our own, and that's a topic to be debated, because again, self-inflicted, some people are splashing with other people's money. Does it just... We are vindictive if somebody tells us something. We are vindictive. I will show you on the day of Qiyamah. And Sayyidina Ali said, hey, this man doesn't need to have problems in his qabr. Please clear the whole thing out. I'll take care. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam congratulates him and he says, oh Ali, who you have liberated him, Allah has liberated you before that. One, two incidents in the life of Sayyidina Ali in his family life. Amongst the greatest of virtues and the greatest of accolades and the greatest of merits on the lap of Ali, in the record of Ali, is he was wedded to the greatest of women. He was wedded. Tarikhul Khulafa, Sayyidina Umar said, if I envy Ali, it's for three things. Tazawwajuhu Fatima. Fatima turned out to be his wife. For that, I have great respect and honor. Allah put this honor in his lap. Number two, suknahu al-masjid, yahillu lahu fihi ma la yahillu li. The privileges he enjoyed in Masjid al-Nabawi was exclusive to him. And number three, akhduhu al-raya yawma khaybar. And the battle of Khaybar, that banner went only in his hands. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wedded Fatima radiallahu anha to Ali, he said, ankahtuki ahabba ahli. My daughter, I made a calculated choice. I made a measured choice. I was sure to wed you to the man I love the most. I knew what I was doing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi himself made the dua and I read the narration. Allahumma barik lahuma, wa barik alayhima, wa barik fi bina'ihima, wa barik fi shamlihima, wa barik fi naslihima. My Nabi's thought is enough for your salvation. Imagine when he verbalizes it in a profound way. Usama radiallahu anhu said, when I returned from the expedition and I came to Nabi alayhi salam, it was his fatal illness. I didn't hear anything, but I seen the tears were trickling, and I seen the lips were moving, and the hands were lifted, and I was certain duas were coming in my favor. That is why I say to the youth, and may Allah inspire the youth, and I love with this, and I believe with this year. You don't have to hear your mom say it. When she tosses by night, she must just have a pleasant thought about you. She must just have a pleasant thought. That thought solves all your problems, my brother. And Allah forbid, she must just have a hurt in her heart. She must just hold back a tear. She must just suppress an unpleasant emotion. I'm afraid. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Allah make it easy for that boy. So Nabi alayhi salam made the dua for them. But as I mentioned, the nature of marriage life is challenging. The greatest of women, wedded to the greatest of soldiers, coupled with the blessings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you couldn't flaw this process on any front. But surely it had its fair share of hiccups. And that is bound to happen. Our problem is, we exacerbate in it. We aggravate in it. We compound in it. We intensify in it. So we have the natural that comes in, but we bring in more on board. As if there isn't enough. The hadith of Bukhari, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes home. He sees that Ali radiallahu anhu is not there. He asked Fatima radiallahu anhu, Ali, she said, he's gone. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam sensed from the mood that things were not right. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to the masjid. He seen Ali radiallahu anhu lying on the bed there, on the sand. قَدْ سَقَتَ ظَهْرُهُ قَدْ سَقَتَ رِدَاؤُهُ مِنْ ظَهْرِهِ. His blessed shawl had fallen out and his back had imprinted onto the sand. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his psychology, you know psychology, once one student was studying psychology and part of his thesis and that was he had to interview a religious cleric. So he came to my house and he said, I want to do an interview with you in psychology. When I started, if a person is robbed or mugged, as a cleric, how would you advise? So I started quoting the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam. He said, wait man, hang on man. This looks like greater psychology than what the textbooks have. I said, exactly my brother. This is the richness of the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. I was in Manchester, going through customs, long interrogation, all done. Was a Scottish man, was a good person, and I have respect for him because he was very polite, a very dignified man. Closed the book, put it once, I said, gentlemen, I've lost a daughter many years ago. I find you to be a religious man. I know you're fasting and I don't want to impose on you. But I'm battling with my dealings and my feelings and I can't get to grips with my life. As a Muslim person, how would you advise a person who loses someone? So I said, this is a niche, this is the opening, and let me convey the message. You know when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of Ta'if and he went to Addas, after everything that had happened, but one man gave him an attentive ear. And I started explaining to him the article of taqdeer. That we institute all precautions, But we leave the outcome to Allah. If we don't institute precautions, then we're abusing the element of taqdeer. It's intricate. It's very intricate. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, someone asked him, explain taqdeer. He said, هُوَ طَرِيقٌ مُظْلِمٌ لَا تَسْلُكُهُ. It's a dark road, don't walk on it. The person said, no, tell me, I want to understand taqdeer. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, هُوَ بَحْرٌ عَمِيقٌ لَا تَلِجُهُ. It's a deep ocean, you'll drown, don't dive. He said, no, tell me, why you don't want to tell me? Sayyidina Ali said, هُوَ سِرُّ اللَّهِ قَدْ خَفِيَ عَلَيْكُ. It's a secret of Allah known to him, don't probe it. So I don't know it and nobody knows it and it's known to Allah alone. But the little that we know and we understand, I shared to him, wallahi, he was so impressed that he said, I've read so much to make peace with myself, but I never ever came across such teachings. إِنْ أَعْطَيْتَ فَإِنَّ الْمُعْطِي هُوَ اللَّهِ وَأَنْتَ مَشْكُورٌ وَإِنْ مَنَعْتَ فَإِنَّ الْمَانِعَ هُوَ اللَّهِ وَأَنْتَ مَعْذُورٌ. The Arabic poet said it, my brother, if you give me what I have asked you, then in essence Allah gave it, but you'll be appreciated. And if you refused, in essence Allah declined, but you'll be excused. Oh man, what an amazing word. If I can live by these two things. So you are not making the decision, but yes, the teachings of my faith is that I must acknowledge you. I must acknowledge you and I must present before you my gratitude. So anyway, coming back to the incident, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's psychology, we will wrap up shortly inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's psychology, he tells Ali radiallahu anhu, Qum ya Aba Turab, oh dusty man, stand up. So he call him Ali to lighten the atmosphere. Sometimes we lighten it and our jokes, unfortunately, they have an adverse effect. You need to be sensitive when you joke. You see, there's a beautiful book, Babu ma ja'a fi mizahin Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The light-heartedness in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brothers, this is again, we are interrupted. These are the type of painful interjections we have to make. It's an emergency here. It's ND656353. Please be kind enough to move your vehicle immediately. There's an emergency. So Sayyidina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what light-heartedness. There is a kitab on the light-heartedness. Muhammad ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayhi said, لَوْلَا الْمِزَاحَ لَمُتْنَا مِنَ الْغَمِ. لَوْلَا الْمِزَاحَ لَمُتْنَا مِنَ الْغَمِ. If we don't flavor our life with objective light-heartedness, we will die with depression. You know who was Muhammad ibn Sirin? Imam Ta'bir al-Ru'ya. He was one of the great scholars of deen. He was a giant in his field. He said, لَوْلَا الْمِزَاحَ, but then it needs to be objective. It cannot be offensive. You need to be sensitive. You need to understand your limits and your parameters. The Prophet ﷺ never offended anyone. Anyway, he said, oh dusty man, Sayyidina Ali stood up. He walked him home and sat down. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi in Fathul Bari, and this is the words of Nabi alayhi salam, how voluminous it is. The hadith is so short, but the write-up on the hadith is few pages. He said, number one, وَفِيهِ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْفَضْلِ قَدْ يَقَعُ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ زَوْجَتِهِ ما تبع عليه البشر من الغضب. From this we deduce the best of homes and the greatest of relations have their fair share of altercations. What did he say? The best of homes. You know, we were sitting and talking and this brother said, 15 years I'm married, I never had a problem. So my friend asked him, I guess you're not staying with your wife. Last year we had an amazing experience. I was going to Sri Lanka for a program, so some friends were with, we went to Maldives. MashaAllah, it's a great island, it's beautiful. Not to tantalize you, but we stayed at Paradise Island. So I said, you know, if somebody goes, what are you going to say? It's buried in Jannat. Anyway, it was very beautiful, MashaAllah. You hop into the water, the marine world, nip the feet. It's really beautiful, breathtaking, great, awesome. So you hop in a boat, go to your islands, about 1,000 islands, only 200 populated, small population, Islamic country, nice, great. So then on our way back, we said we'll go to the capital, Mali city, take a boat, and then we're going to Sri Lanka for programs. Honestly, it was such an amazing experience. We got there, got onto the, asked his brother, spoke little, no real communication, go, eat, restaurant, yeah, halal, good. Anyway, got in, the phone rings. Now they have their own exclusive language. It's not even spoken anywhere else. It's exclusive to Mali, Maldives. The phone rang. We couldn't hear anything in the background, and he takes off. My friend said, I'm telling you, he's talking to his wife. This were his words. He didn't open up and say, fro. Wallahi, I have a distinct memory. It was the afternoon. The phone rang. Going one way away. He puts the phone. Sorry, my wife, he asked, what time I eat lunch? I said, Ya Allah. You go to Maldives Islands, or you go to North America, or you come home. Why you not beg for lunch? It's like, in its broader spectrum, it has its common denominations. Honestly, we had such a laugh. We had to say, brother, we're not laughing at you in any way. Then we had to like give a whole rundown that, listen, when you answered the phone, he say, you talk wife. You phone down, you say, wife ask when come home lunch. We, South Africa problem, same. Ya Rab, Ya Rab. So what did Hafiz Ibn Hajar say? يَقَعُ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْفَضْلِ قَدْ يَقَعُ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ زَوْجَتِهِ مَا تُبِعَ عَلَيْهِ الْبَشَرُ مِنَ الْغَضَبِ وَقَدْ يَدْعُ ذَلِكَ إِلَى الْخُرُوجِ. And sometimes it becomes so painful that it compels the man to exit. He writes in Fathul Bari, وَلَا يُعَابُ عَلَيْهِ. And there's no reproach or blame upon him. He needs space. He goes out. He goes out. But where does he go? He goes to the masjid. Number three, وَفِيهِ كَرَمُ خُلُقِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. We learn from this the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? لِأَنَّهُ مَشَى نَحْوَ عَلِيٍ لِيَتَرَضَّاهُ. He didn't go to Ali to antagonize the whole thing. He went to Ali to patch it up. وَلَمْ يُعَاتِبْهُ عَلَى مُغَاذَبَتِهِ لِبْنَتِهِ مَعَ رَفِيعِ مَنْزِلَتِهَا عِنْدَهُ. And he didn't get offended with Ali, despite knowing and everyone knowing how much he loved Fatima radiallahu anha. Ali, you know how many people propose for my daughter? You know how lucky you are? Do you know she's the queen of Jannah? You know what Jibreel has just told me about her? No. But that's what I have. That's what I have. One day one brother came to me, his son was proposing and I guess he had some issues and it wasn't going through. He said, Maulana, I'm not boasting and I'm not blowing my trumpet, but these women are saying no, they don't know what a boy they're losing. I said, ouch! Uncle, that's a bit painful. Ouch! That were his words. These girls, they don't know what they're losing. I said, uncle, if you're so confident about your commodity, it will sell without you marketing. If you're so confident about your commodity, it will sell without... After marketing also, you're walking on what... I mean, that's loud, man. That's loud. Wow. Honestly. Sometimes I think I must pen down my experiences, you know, put it together. I don't know what you would call a book like this. So we learn from this here. And if you look at Sayyidina Ali, and I don't want to go because time is up and I want to draw it to a close. He goes down in the Sahaba as one of the greatest in terms of shuja'at. When it comes to bravery, there was no way. He didn't say, I'm a heavyweight, I'm a lightweight, I've got this accolade. He walked away with maturity. When Amr ibn Abd al-Wud came, who took him on? لا تعجلن فقد أتاك مجيب صوتك غير عاجز في نية وبصيرة والصدق من جا كل فائز إني لأرجو أن أقيم عليك نائحة الجنائز من ضربة النجلى يبقى ذكرها عند الهزاهز أعلي تقتحم الفوارس هكذا عني وعنهم أخروا أصحابي اليوم يمنعني الفرار حفيظتي ومصمم في الرأس ليس بنابي عبد الحجارة من سفاهة رأيه وعبدت رب محمد بصوابي فصدرت حين تركته متجدلا كالجذع بين دكادك وروابي وعففت عن أثوابه ولو أنني كنت المقتر بزني أثوابي لا تحسبن الله خاذل دينه ونبيه يا معشر الأحزاب. If I translate, I'll make my name a liar, we'll hit the 12 o'clock mark. And I don't want to do that to him. In essence, it spells out the vigor, the valor, the strength of Ali. But he didn't flash his black belt at home. With maturity, he walked out. You know, when you read Sahaba, they actually, when you talk of sometimes, you know, nowadays the word spice your relation. That's the key word. Spice, you know what? Some spice can burn, some add flavor. Explain, you know what? Unpack. It's a very comparative term. Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr was wedded to the woman Atika bint Zayd. Very beautiful woman, exceptional beauty. Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr, he had an arrow that hit him in the battle of Ta'if. 40 days after the demise of Nabi alayhi salam, it ruptured and he passed away. When he passed away, before that he had given his wife a garden and he said, don't marry anyone, I'm giving you this, take care of it. And there were women in history. Na'ila radiallahu anha, the wife of Uthman radiallahu anhu, who had lost her fingers in waving off the attackers against Sayyidina Uthman. She had great proposals from the likes of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And Muawiyah was a sahabi, had the economic muscle, he was the governor. He had all covered in to accommodate the interests of a woman, all were in place. And he proposed to Na'ila radiallahu anha. She said, لا يقعد مني مقعد عثمان أحد. I won't able to find myself becoming intimate with any man after my late husband Uthman. I won't able to bring myself to that, oh Muawiyah, with respect to who you are and your accolades and your privileges. But لا يقعد مني مقعد عثمان. And there were great women like this here. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu's wife as well. So he had given his wife this garden and he said, don't wed anyone. She agreed. And on his demise, she sang the couplets expressing her pain over the loss of her husband. وَآلَيْتُ لَا تَنْفَكُ عَيْنِي سَخِينَةً عَلَيْكَ وَلَا يَنْفَكُ جِلْدِي أَغْبَرَى مَدَ الدَّهْرُ مَا غَنَّتْ حَمَامَةُ أَيْكَ وَمَا تَرَدَ اللَّيْلُ الصَّبَاحَ الْمُنَوَّرَى. When I say Sahaba, he lived a normal life. But they knew their limits. They knew their limits. That's why somebody asked Wahab ibn Munabbi, Akana ashabu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yadhakun. Tell me, did Sahaba also sit and chill? If I translate that. Tell me, did Sahaba also sit and chill? You know, just sit, have a light moment, make a laugh or two? He said, yes, they had a laugh or two, but the iman in their hearts was stronger than the mountains around you. What they say, a man with a strong immune system, if he has a glass of cold drink, it won't be as harmful to his body because he has a strong defense system. But you have the same thing or half of that, you might walk away sneezing. Why? Because your immune system is weak. When I giggle like this, it's bad. I don't have a spiritual immune system. I'm on life support machines. I'm running on this dua and that person's dua and this tasbih. Sahaba, stronger. Na'am wal imanu fi qulubihim a'damu min al jibal. So she sang this couplet. She said, my husband Abdurrahman, you've moved on. My eye will keep on tear. وَلَا يَنْفَكُّ جِلْدِي أَغْبَرَى. And dust will remain on my body forever. مَدَ الدَّهْرُ مَا غَنَّتْ حَمَامَةُ أَيْكَ. As long as the birds of Aika will chirp, and day will be followed by night, and life will continue, I will keep on lamenting and crying over you. So people was, you know, ineto in dani bahu yaad aavech. You know, it was the talk of the town. She's really crying, and she's really, you know, missing him a lot. Allah give him strength, Allah make it easy for her. These were the couplets. Sometime later, Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu proposed. She said, but I got this garden here. Hazrat Umar said, wait, we'll ask the fatwa and see what happens. He consulted with the Sahaba. They said, if she's ready to return the garden to the heirs of her deceased, her husband, then it is correct for her to wed again. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu took the proposal and he said, this is within your perfect right. This is the jurisprudic ruling. I've consulted with the group of Sahaba and this is the fatwa they've provided me with. So she returned the garden and she accepted the proposal. Who wouldn't want to wed the man like Umar? Who wouldn't want to be the spouse and the partner of Umar? Anyway, فَأَسْرَحَ أَيْدَعَى فِي وَلِيمَتِهِ. He then called everybody, please come for the walima. I mean, I'm talking of Sahaba's lightheartedness. So then amongst those people he called Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. So he called Ali and he sat down. While they sat in and eating, Ali started singing the couplets that she said she'll never get married. وَآلَيْتُ لَا تَنْفَكُ عَيْنِي. So I read the narration, Hazrat Umar nudged Ali. And he said, don't spoil my wife's mood, man. I said, wow, they were human from humans. They were people from people. They were mortals from mortals. But their compass was in order. Their navigation was on track. They were not losing signal. We never would signal. So Sayyidina Ali is eating and he's saying, وَآلَيْتُ لَا تَنْفَكُ عَيْنِي حَزِينَةً عَلَيْكَ. Obviously the women are hearing there. When she heard it, نَشَجَتْ نَشْجًا عَالِيًا. There was a loud cry from his wife, and she went down memory lane of a late husband, and she realized what she had said, and now she's obviously all dressed up and moving on into the new venture. So that's when Umar said, "Hey Ali, I called you for my walima, not for this, boss." Subhanallah. We love the Sahaba. By Allah, we love them. Allah knows when I read about them what happens to me. Everything about their life is exemplary. Everything about their life is awesome. How perfect their life was packaged by Allah. It flavored every dimension of life. It covered every sphere of life. From social to economical to political to family to anything. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. We end with this. Save your family and your children from hell. Sayyidina Ali said, what is the commentary of this ayah? Allimuhum al khair. Teach your family good. And tafsir at-tabri, addibuhum, teach them respect. My brothers, we don't have respect in our society today. Ask those that are in the teaching fraternity, I'm afraid the element of respect has left our institutions. A society that building blocks are not respect is in the air. This is the muscle of anyone. They can be devoured by anyone. Today, it's the absence of respect of our parents, of our seniors, of our pious predecessors, that people have taken it to the level of even speaking nasty comments of the great giants and the fuqaha and the muhaddithin of this ummah. Who was Shafi'i? Who was Abu Hanifa? What right does he have? Imam Shafi said, لَقَدْ زَانَ الْبِلَادَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا إِمَامُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَبِي حَنِيفَةَ بأحكام وآثار وفقه كآيات الزبور في الصحيفة فما بالمشرقين له نظير ولا بالمغربين ولا بكوفة. Imam Shafi said, I looked in Kufa, I looked in the east, I looked in the whole world, I couldn't find another man like Imam Abu Hanifa. I'm not saying Imam Shafi is saying. You know, just to give you a glimpse, one day I was flying in Australia and there was a non-Muslim brother next to me and we got speaking of religion. The comments he used on Dawood alayhi salam, I got off my seat. I couldn't believe that you speak of any human being like this, that this person was speaking of a Nabi. I said, can you talk of a prophet? I mean, don't we agree this much that he's the cream of the of Almighty's creation? How can you talk like this of a Nabi? Now I'll tell you why I'm saying what I'm saying. In Tafsir Uthmani, it is written under this ayah in Surah Qasas, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Do yourself a favor and open the ayah. Abu Talib didn't accept Islam. Maulana Shabir Ahmed Uthmani says, the respect for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demands that we don't discuss and deliberate on this incident. Because as much as Abu Talib didn't accept Islam, repeating this incident is going to cause harm to the heart and pain to the heart of Nabi alayhi salam. Read Tafsir Uthmani. This is the teachings of our pious predecessors. And these are the levels of respect. Read Qadi Abu Bakr ibn Arabi in Ahkamul Quran when I talk of respect. Today we went to, Sayyidina Umar went to visit one elderly lady. Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Talha radiallahu anhu said, I got a twinge of suspicion. I said, no man, it's in the night, Umar is going here. The next day I hid myself. And then Sayyidina Umar went in, and he came out. When he came out, I went inside. I said, ma balu hadha rajul ya'tika. Sorry sister, this brother, he's coming, Umar. He said, may Allah bless him. He comes in the early part. He attends to all my work, cleans my house. Wa yukhriju anni al-adha. Talha radiallahu anhu said, I hit my head. Hazza talhatu ra'sahu wa qal. Thakilatka ummuka ya talha. A'atharati Umar tatatabba. Talha, woe be to you. May your mother cry upon you. Are you hiding to probe the flaws of a man who's blemishless? Are you looking for the mistakes of a woman? He said, a twinge got me in my heart. I hid away. And when I discovered what, I was ashamed of myself. I wanted the earth to split. Today you see how the youth speak to their parents. You speak, I swear by Allah, it is only respect that takes you forward. It is only respect that takes you forward. How more can I tell you and what more do I tell you? وَعَصَىٰ آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَىٰ. These are stern words. If you know Arabic, عَصَىٰ and غَوَىٰ. In Arabic grammar, very harsh. Allah can say anything to anyone. Allah is the creator. But that doesn't give me license. If a partner, if the wife says something harsh to the husband or the husband to the wife, that doesn't give the children license to talk like that. And that's what's happening. How can you talk? They are your seniors. There is a narration also that one day one sahabi said something to a particular sahabi. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, hey, don't say that to him. He participated in Badr. Then afterwards, some other time, another sahabi told that same sahabi something, Ghaliban Khalid, Abdurrahman ibn Auf. So this other sahabi came and said, oh Nabi of Allah, you stopped me from telling him because he participated in Badr. But now this other sahabi also told him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yeah, but then they both participated in Badr. So they on par. They on par. You not in Badr. Acknowledge merit. Acknowledge merit. There's a level. There's a level. That's your parent. That's your senior. That's your ustad. How do you talk? You must see what Qadi Abu Bakr ibn Arabi has written under the sea. لا يجوز لأحدنا اليوم أن يخبر بذلك عن آدم إلا إذا ذكرناه في قوله تعالى أو قول نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم فأما أن يبتدئ من قبل نفسه فليس بجائز لنا في آبائنا الأولين فكيف في أبينا الأقدم الأكرم النبي الذي عذره الله وتاب عليه. That Allah said Adam made a mistake and Allah said Adam did not comply. He said, how dare we ever say Adam the non-compliant? How dare we say Adam the disobedient? He said, we have no license to elaborate on the harshness of what Allah has said. We restrict ourselves diligently to the text of the Quran. We pronounce no letter of harshness. If we want to become harsh, how dare we become harsh with our biological father? Where can we become harsh with our first father? That is respect. That is the grounds of respect. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, the Sahaba were playing Kitabul Maghazi with their bow and arrow. And Nabi Sassam came and said, oh, mashallah boys. You know, that's the problem today. Children don't have brains, the elderly don't have patience. And there's a gulf between the two, there's a rift. We need little maturity from the children and little patience from the seniors. And inshallah we can bridge the gap and win our youth. We need to win them. They come into the masjid, outside is vulnerable, it's evil, it's wicked. I'm not condoning wrong in the masjid. But I promise you, this is the only amnesty here. Don't be harsh to him in this masjid, my brother. Because if he walks out here, there are many to pop him a pearl with a smile in his face here. Give him some warm hand. Give him some kind hand. My brother, please sit down. You know, go a little at the back. Youngsters, don't do this. You know the sad reality of Juma in the back of the masjid. I don't have to tell you. It's a painful sight. It's so painful that Allah forbid you ever late for Juma that you have to contend with seeing what's happening in the back of the masjid. If you have any sense of self, pain, it will shatter your tears. It will shudder your body. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, mashallah, the children are praying. That's awesome. Irmu bani Ismail fa inna abakum kana ramiya. After all, your father Ismail was a great archer. Your ancestor had great archery skills. And I'm on this side. Come, you people now hurl the arrow. It's me on this side. So they all drop their arrows and their bows and they sit down quiet. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Malakum la tarmoon. Now why you stop? They said, O Nabi of Allah, when you on one side, how dare we challenge that side? Aye. Children playing outside. Outside is not a structured environment. Outside is not a formal environment. Wallah, if the outside environment of Medina becomes the classroom environment of today, there will be a change in the world. Huh? Somebody sent me that BBM message. Classroom manners. Be silent. Respect others that are sleeping. No? Classroom manners. Brother, be silent. Respect others that are sleeping. That's the world, my brother. That's the world we teach in. So this was respect. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, قُومُوا كُونُوا بِقُبُولِ الْعَمَلِ أَشَدُّ اِهْتِمَامًا مِنَ الْعَمَلِ. Be more concerned that your action is accepted than its mere performance. فَإِنَّهُ لَيَّقِلَّ عَمَلٌ مَعَ التَّقْوَى وَكَيْفَ يَقِلُّ مَا يُتَقَبَّلُ. Because nothing is trivial when it's accepted. And how can you call it trivial when Allah is pleased with it? When Ibn Muljim struck him with the spear and he collapsed and he realized it's fatal and he's slipping, he called Hassan. He said, Hassan, take 4 words from me quickly, my son. He broke down. He said, my son, gain your composure, I'm giving you advice. Number one, إِيَّاكَ وَمُصَادَقَةِ الْكَذَّابِ. Don't ever befriend a liar in this world. فَإِنَّهُ يُقَرِّبُ عَلَيْكَ الْبَعِيدُ وَيُبَعِّدُ عَلَيْكَ الْقَرِيبُ. He will turn your tables upside down. Make your friend's enemy, make your enemy's friends. إِيَّاكَ وَمُصَادَقَةِ الْفَاجِرِ Don't ever befriend a wicked person, a sinful person. فَإِنَّهُ يَبِيعُكَ بِالتَّافِ He will drop you for the most trivial benefit. And إِيَّاكَ وَمُصَادَقَةِ الْكَذَّابِ Save yourself from becoming the friend of a fajir, an evil person. And save yourself from becoming the friend of a bakhil. Why? فَإِنَّهُ يَقْعُدُ عَنْكَ أَحْوَجَ مَا تَكُونُ إِلَيْهِ He will desert you at the most critical moment. And then in one narration it comes, he said, there is no virtue or merit or reward for a person whose wealth increases or his children increase. وَلَكِنَّ الْخَيْرِ أَنْ يُكْثَرَ عِلْمُكَ وَيُعْظَمَ حِلْمُكَ If your knowledge goes up and your tolerance level goes up, then definitely you gain in. وَأَنْ تُبَاهِ النَّاسَ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّكَ You start priding yourself with how much you obey in Allah and not how much you accumulate in. And then he said, لَا خَيْرَ فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لِرَجُلَيْنِ There's only good in this world for two people. رَجُلٌ أَذْنَبَ ذَنْبًا فَهُوَ تَدَارَكَ ذَلِكَ بِتَوْبَةٍ وَرَجُلٌ يُسَارِعُ إِلَى الْخَيْرَاتِ One who's hastening towards good and one who did wrong and now he's trying to atone for this wrong by performing righteous deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to infuse and imbibe within us the great legacy and the great lessons of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the crisis that we've inflicted upon ourselves and the miseries we brought on the planet. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also divinely avert the natural disasters and tragedies that has come upon us. A man came to his mother and he said, My mom, how will I know that I found the right woman? So his mother said to him, My son, stop worrying about the right woman. Be sure to become the right man. Allah make us that. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal-mursaleen. سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم لك الحمد حمدا دائما مع دوامك ولك الحمد حمدا خالدا مع خلودك لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا لك الحمد كالذي نقول ولك الحمد خيرا مما نقول اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وزد وتحنن وترحم على حبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وذرياته إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم اجعل أولادنا برا تقيا اللهم اجعل أولادنا برا تقيا وأنبتهم في الإسلام نباتا حسنا اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا واصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر اللهم ما قصر عنه رأينا ولم تبلغه مسألتنا من خيري الدنيا والآخرة فاجعل لنا منه أوفر الحظ والنصيب اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين